set the recording. So whenever you're ready, we should be ready before you. We're recording.
Well, the time is 5:29 p.m. and I'm calling to order the Public Art Committee meeting on January 8th, 2026. We can start with roll call.
Salma is out sick. Erica is out sick. Mike?
Here.
And for the purposes of the recording, can you...
Michael Haggerty, here.
Thank you. Dave?
Dave Riley, we're present.
Vicky Joe is out. Rick?
Rick Tejada Flores, here.
And Judy.
Judy Leonard.
And our chair, Turin.
Turin Walker, here.
And vice chair, Ron.
Ron Davis, here.
And then myself, Amber Evans, secretary to the committee, and to my left.
Very bad name.
And with that, we have quorum and we see, right?
We'll move on to agenda item number 3, public comment.
There would be no public present and no comments received.
Well, we can move on to agenda item 4, approval of the November 13th, 2025 regular meeting session minutes. Would anyone like to make a motion?
Dave, any discussion, comments, corrections? Call the roll call. Mike?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
On to agenda item number 5, our action items. We can start with 5.1, community promotions and visual art grants, art grant subcommittee appointee.
Yeah. So with a couple of people missing, this might be a little more difficult to navigate, but let's see what we can accomplish. As Ron and Sterin are familiar with, in prior years, the visual art grants and the community promotion grants had a single selection panel, and this was pretty overwhelming, a very late meeting. And so the decision has been made both one, to change the structure of who's on the committee, the selection committee. So the PAC is going from having two seats and the Park and Rec committee from having two seats to each of those now only having one seat and a seat being offered to the Commission on Aging and the EDAC. And then a fifth seat that can either be held by a member of one of the existing committees, right? So it could be that it's represented by another person from the PAC or another person from Park and Rec, or it could be budget advisory, VPAC, or housing. So all those committees will have something on their agenda like you do tonight. There was a report attached to your committee packet that overlaid it. We just got to public comment. We move fast around here.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't have one anyway. Sitting in.
And so the action asked of you tonight is to name one or two people that either that one person is serving on two selection panels, one for the visual arts and one for the community promotion grants. They're about a week or two apart in the calls. So the meetings will probably be a week or two apart. So it's not like you're going to do Tuesday and Wednesday. It's going to be if you could. And these are going to be, I know for the visual art grants, they're going to be early March, and it's probably later in March that the community promotions selection panel would be convened. So the the committee can choose and as available to have one person do both of those, or to appoint one person to visual art grants and one person to community promotion grants. And then there's probably an alternate that's needed for both of those. So that could either be somebody who's like, yeah, I can be an alternate for whichever one. If somebody got sick, I can do either one. Or that could be separate people. So you could be appointing 2 to 4 people in that configuration. And it really is based on interest and availability. Certainly, I can answer any more questions about the expectation. And certainly, Ron and Turin, who have served on that committee previously, could speak to their experiencing, understanding that it's going to be a little less onerous. Dinner will be provided. You get to meet a lot of the others. Mike was at a workshop we had yesterday. Beth was at a workshop we had it Tuesday morning. And so we, a dynamic and interesting and exciting projects that you've had on hiatus for the last year, and now a new batch of artists coming in, and some of the same things with new sites. It should be.
Can they apply for new grants?
Prior artists can receive an additional grant. And sometimes that becomes kind of a series, like Juan Lopez is a mosaic artist, and he's got, I think, 5 mosaics in the city now. Some of them through community promotion grants, some of them through visual art grants. I think, for example, Packer Jenning did 3 birdhouses. There's other people interested in community gardens having additional ones, or the South End having some more. So maybe he'd do that again, for example, in additional geographies. Sites have fallen out because they've been completed, right? We used up 7 sites in the last, and some moved forward to repeat, and new sites were added this year. So there's over 20 locations, as well as locations that may be listed and are being newly discussed as possibilities. So the action tonight is to appoint at least one person to serve on both committees, or 2 people with one serving on each. Community promotion grants are more about activities. They're very much have throughout the years continually had grants that are used at the school site. And they're activity-based without an installation. So applicants can apply to both of them. And in a few cases, that might be the case. But for the most part, they have a separate audience and separate intentions.
So do you need a motion?
I do. This is an action item where I'm looking for a nominee for either both committees, or 2 nominees, 1 for each, and then an alternate.
So our proposal would be 1 for each.
If you got people for it, that sounds great.
I got Mike for the visual.
No, you went.
I know
you are, because you went to the thing. So I figured that would just be a nice tie-in. Now, for the second person, I don't know. Second one, but I wouldn't have one person going too.
I know Dave has a kid at the school.
I'd be happy to serve in the community promotions.
Great. Ready? Is there a public comment on the action items, or?
There are, but I think, where are we putting that? We so rarely have public comment that I have to think about where we are. Mm-hmm. We should be either that there wasn't much discussion. And it would be after discussion. How about you have public comment right now?
I do want to make a comment because my understanding is that the selection committee will be composed of representatives from multiple committees, including public art, but other advisory committees across the city government. And I just wanted to put in a word. My name is Brooks Jessup. I serve on the housing committee. And so I just wanted to put in a suggestion there that, not necessarily myself, but it might be nice to have someone from the housing committee on the selection committee, partially because, as you know, in the application process, one of the considerations, one of the requirements is that you get signatures from all of the residents who are living nearby who might be affected by the visual art installation.
And I, so there's a sort of impact related to housing, but I think there's also, it can really make housing more attractive to have public art in the neighborhood. And that's my personal experience. I live over here at the Emory on Sherwin, right across from the treasure map, which I totally love. And like, I see when I walk outside every day, I feel very uplifted by it, very proud of it. Other people walk by, they examine it, they take photographs of it. I feel very proud to live right across the street from it. And so I feel like there's a real housing perspective that could be brought to the selection of public art, someone who could bring sort of a housing type perspective to the impact of these different projects that are being proposed. And so I just wanted to recommend, and I will probably recuse myself because my wife is probably going to apply, but there are lots of others who are terrific on the housing committee who I think might be able to provide a good perspective. Just want to suggest that.
Public comment is appreciated. I just want to clarify for the body that they are being asked to recommend PAC members for the committee. The committee's has the potential for a fifth seat that could be from any committee, including the housing committee. So if you wanted to have a recommendation that you were recommending Mike for the visual arts, Dave for community promotions grants, you could include language that say, and you're not proposing a second PAC member, which you can, right? You could decide to say, there's this fifth seat, and we also want a PAC member on the visual art grant or the community promotion grants. And we've got another person we're also nominating. Or you could say, we're not choosing to do that, and we're, you know, and we end the nomination after that. Or you could, as suggested by the member of the public, say, and we'd like to see the fifth seat by somebody in housing, if that it was an intent that you as the public art committee would like to endorse for the reason stated. You could include that in your motion, though you don't need to. And you could consider an additional nomination of the PAC, because in the past, you as the PAC have had two representatives, and the change is that now you are only having a single representative. And that seat that is being referred to that could be used by a housing advisory committee member could also be used by a PAC member or a budget advisory or, you know, any of the committees. So it's your choice if you want to take effectively a friendly amendment or to adopt the public comment and incorporate. So far we have a nomination for each seat, but we have no one making that motion. So we would need a motion that incorporates the nominations. We still haven't talked about an alternate, and then you can consider the proposal from the whole.
I have a question. So the visual art in both of these like grant committees, do they not have someone from the housing committee that's being?
They are current, the
committee. Are they not part of this?
They are currently, the structure of the panel is someone from the PAC, someone from Park and Rec, someone from the Committee on Aging, and someone from the Economic Advisory Committee. There is a fifth seat that is available to someone from an additional person from any of those four committees, or the Housing Committee, or Budget Advisory, or BPAC, the Bike Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Those three committees, BPAC, Budget, and Housing, don't have a designated seat. But anyone from those committees is eligible and will have an agenda item like this that will say, you know, do you want to recommend somebody? And my understanding is the composition of that committee is considered by the Community Services Committee. So the PAC had no say in the change or recommendation to the council about would you have one or two seats, or would there be an extra seat you're eligible, or should housing? And so it's not really in your purview, but because the Community Services Committee is going to be picking from all the people that get put forward from those committees, if you think that that last sheet should go to housing, then you could include that in your recommendation.
So if I'm clear, so like the visual art, like our committee is the only one that has two places that we can put in?
No.
Except one for each of these.
Separated. It's one for both.
Right.
Yeah. Both panels have the same composition as I just highlighted. This is a change from the past. And so
Can I, what's that? Have you reached out to the other committees?
I've set the housing committee meeting last night, but it sounds like what another angle might be to like encourage people who are on the housing committee to apply for that last seat.
And our next meeting, it'll be an agenda item and you should pitch it there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It wasn't on the future. Okay.
It is. I talked about
it. Cool. I'd like to add another wrinkle to housing being involved in terms of having are connected to communities. There are some communities that have no commercial sites. And so there's always isn't there always a connection between who we recommend and a site where it might work? Because if we have a housing place, you know, I live at 61st and Doyle. There are no commercial buildings.
Oh.
How do you put, I mean, there's the greenway that has the birdhouses, but I can't think of any other site.
Well, and so I think maybe in the last 2 years, we added several public sites that were in part because there aren't commercial sites. That meant there wasn't a lot of public art that was necessarily on the greenway or the park spaces adjacent to it. So both Stanford Park and the greenway have either, you know, retaining walls or the actual pavement of the slow street are now opportunity sites identified for the visual art grants. And the RCD development that ECAP is a tenant within is also identified as an opportunity site for an interior location. So, you know, this may point to, in terms of the process around selecting sites for the visual art grant, that maybe there's a referral, you know, that I as staff go to the housing committee and say, are there opportunities for visual arts within either single family residential areas or multifamily developments? And because I currently, as process, send the request under the business license. Commercial, but we don't have a similar like request to HOAs. But I think that's on the front end, right, in terms of that selecting site. And that with the sites that we have, we may have impacts on us more, you know, our stable single family residential areas because of those park locations, the street locations, and RCD. But right now I am looking for a motion. Of the two nominations we have, I'm seeking an alternate and then your discussion or action regarding.
So it could be one alternate for both, or it could be.
I think if there's a person who's willing to do that, absolutely, right?
I'll be the alternate.
Wonderful.
You're a good person.
They're all wonderful people. We love our volunteers. We'll give you food. We promise.
My wife is on the selection committee. And it was grueling.
What is a new thing this year? Like the drinks are something.
What?
Did we get cool last time?
You got through it, and as Rick said, his wife was there with you, the two of you, and it was till midnight. And the intent is to
can't make good judgments.
Right. We are at least having that, right? They could both be long meetings, but it's at least half of the scope of work, right? And if we may change the process, that if the visual art grants is an overwhelming number that would be way too many, we might decide to do something at the staff level, right? If there are multiple applications for one site, are we only putting one forward to you? Or, you know, is there some way that we could reduce that? Are we looking at basic eligibility and, you know?
Well, there's also basic feasibility too. Sure. The project is.
Yeah.
Is submitted that that they wanted a site that
we might ask private developers to pick their favorite one and only put that one forward if we found that we were overwhelmed. So we could try and reduce that, and we're aware that that's a need to keep this manageable.
And I will volunteer to be a second alternate if for the unforeseen reason that both Mike and David got sick, so Taryn would have to do both. I doubt that that's going to happen, but in the unlikely case, I don't want because I would feel your pain.
The six members have been nominated. Would the other two people like to make the motion and the second, and then with their motion, state whether or not you want to make a statement on that, guys, and we'll adopt it and use for nominee.
I can make the motion.
I can second it.
And for the four.
Yeah, we're all involved.
The two and the two alternates, and then with a suggestion that a member of the housing committee be considered, if possible, for the fifth seat.
Is that clear for everyone? And the second, except?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the second? You're doing visually or the visual art, and you're doing
the second is
the second for the motion.
Okay.
Sending the motion.
Mike is going to do the visual art grants. Mm-hmm. Dave's going to do community promotions. Taryn is the first alternate for either of those, right. And if both were to lose their spot, Ron would then attend the second, he's the second alternate,
right.
He is by position a second alternate for both sides.
Yep.
Position. Okay, so with clarity of the action, I'm calling, I believe the chair called the vote, and I'm going to do roll call. Mike.
Yes.
David.
Yeah.
Rick.
Yes.
Judy.
Yes.
Taryn,
yeah,
and Ron.
Yes.
Unanimous. Thank you. On 5.2, which is the PAC's 2026 schedule of meetings, this is actually an item that should be more appropriately called your future agenda item. And we have had clarified today that by adopting your schedule tonight, not the specific dates, but the variations from a typical schedule. You could have that going forward until either you changed it or the council changed it. And the reason that this is on your agenda is that the council has taken a moratorium on meetings from December 15th to January 15th. And that doesn't work well for the PAC because your first January meeting, as we are doing tonight, is within that January 1st to January 15th. And you need that meeting to make the requirement to make the presentation on the March 15th meeting. If you waited until February, you would be delivering that late. So you always have a January meeting. You never have a December meeting. That's usually reserved for a reception. Your December meeting is outside that moratorium. So it would always need a cancellation and a special, a notification. So it's just administrative work. So the intent with the action tonight is to bring to you the schedule as it would be in 2026 and to keep that schedule that you would always have a January meeting at your regular meetings. And these can always be canceled, right? If you didn't have an item, you could cancel the regular meetings. You'd always have a regular January. And they also have a moratorium in August, but you often have business related to the selection panels that are being prepared for the bus shelter or the purchase award. So it is typical that you have an August meeting. So the intent is to have regular monthly meetings from January to September to, as is currently the case, continue to codify that your October meeting is in the first week and not the second because of the purchase award and the celebration of the arts. Have a regular meeting in November, not have a meeting in December, and have that be your regular schedule, which is how you functioned as a committee. I've just been doing some administratives to do it. And now we can just adopt that. I don't have to cancel the December one. And I don't have to schedule the January one. And
yeah.
You just have to do the location for October. So with that, if there is no discussion, I'm just looking for an action and a motion to approve in a second. If there's discussion, I'm happy to hear it or answer questions.
I'll make a motion to accept the proposed meeting schedule as you've outlined, Amber.
I'll second.
What? That was Mike?
Nope, that was Ron.
Ron, sorry.
They look so similar.
I find it related voice.
I will call the vote. Mike?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Taryn?
Yes.
And Ron?
Yes.
Moving right along, which is great because with that, got a stump shaman. And then I'm going to square window with, hopefully this is it.
Yes. Okay.
So as staff, I have drafted a draft presentation of what would be I'm proposing is presented to the council. What I'm looking for is feedback from the body tonight of if we've missed certain things that you want to think about, and substantively the expectation is that you would have a conversation not only about your capital projects that you want to prioritize in the year coming, but because we have engaged the services of a conservator to look at maintenance of the art collection, and they have given a ranked list of all the works in the collection to move forward with, talking about and prioritizing what might be the first of those works, you know, knowing that there's deferred maintenance and what should be prioritized, what are the top priorities in your recommendation to move forward in 2026.
But
yeah.
Is the maintenance considered a capital item?
It's not. So there is a set aside and a specific account fund that has had about $250,000 in it for maintenance. The neighborhood convergence is kind of at the scale that it's turning into a capital project, separate from that. So thinking about either how that will deplete those funds or, you know, maybe backfilling them. But the thought is with preservation of arts to because it is not a capital project and staff limitations are as great, if not greater, a constraint on what's possible, to think about maybe $50,000 annually being used, maybe doing a 2 to 3 year contract with Pacific Arts. Preservation arts, but what's being asked of the pack is the prioritization. What comes in year one versus year three? What's in that first 3 years versus what continues to be deferred? I mean, I'll have some specific material to bring up for that. But I thought I would go through this as a way to have the talk conversation after I'm done with the presentation about capital projects. And then if we need to pull up additional materials for preservation arts for talking about the maintenance, we can do that as a separate and integrated item. And then we can finalize. And typically the action that is taken with the adoption of the priorities is nomination for folks to make that presentation. It's typically been the chair and the vice chair. So that's the action that's presumed tonight. And then substantively, the work is to prioritize those projects for maintenance. I mean, if there aren't further questions, I would just run through this and then I'll take either suggested modifications. Sometimes it's been as specific as, I don't think those pictures do us a service, do better. And sometimes it's here, you know, we want a different priority. So I'm open to all of it. And this will be on March 17th. A date I know well because it is my son's birthday.
March 17th. That's my birthday too.
And so, and as been tradition, we thank those members who were in for a part of the year and use part of the bus shelter, one of the bus shelter artists for the year. And I picked this one in part because I'm now working on Sea Level Rise, and the folks that I work with in Sea Level Rise were delighted to see a Pacific oyster on the marina's bus shelter, and they're like, Emeryville is so on in it. Of course, in 2025, we substantively move forward to the 40th Street streetscape public process and design development. We now have a final design that will be moving forward to the Transportation and Sustainability Committee after completing 6 workshops with the public and school children and having over 145 people, many of them school children, but also at the over the course of those 6 workshops, having adults from the marina to the public art committee to the BPAC to a variety of just the public attending at the senior center. I think it was actually a senior center picnic where they had participants participate. And then a website that allowed people to submit their images. And so they came up with 2 options for iKinds for wayfinding and 2 displays for bus shelter glass, installations for attaching to light poles, lean bars, and 4 sculptures, significant sculptures, 1 lit, 1 seating, 1 interactive, and 1, as I would call, Instagrammable. This is not a place you can pose before. And all the species identified by the public process have resulted in the flora and fauna that are within that design being native to, or at least now a traveler who has arrived here. So not everything is endemic, but everything is found in Emeryville as represented in the private. And you as a committee, you would say to the, you know, as the committee gave substantive feedback in the design development. That project is moving forward into your goals for 2026 to see it implemented. In 2025, 2 of the last of 9 visual art grants were completed. Chris Granulo with the longest mural in Emeryville. We now have our first AR mural, but this was our longest one through the visual art grant. And then Packard Jennings installed 3 birdhouses, which one could say to the council, there's specific interest from council members in adding additional information about the species being attracted, and that could be something that could be considered in the upcoming year. The 2025 purchase award was 2 works by Steve Center that's being installed at ECCL. Right now, I want to note for you that is an event that will be happening next Tuesday, January 13th at ECCL, and you're all invited to be there. But when the presentation is being made, that will have happened in the past. There are others that are considering this site, and the artist himself says the works look a little lonely in the room, and so visual art grants might be considered, not that they had been prioritized, but some artists are thinking about the same room and maybe some additional art installations. And of course, in 2025, phase 7 of the Sharon Wilshire Bus Shelter Program continued. The 2023 call included the artists Aaron Fong and Michelle Thieberg being installed in the shelters. And then the phase 8 was both initiated, and the first of the works of the 9 artists that are going in phase 8 were installed in 2025. And in this case, Jennifer Mazuka had her installation overlapping with her residency with the Rotten City Cultural District. And so she was delighted to have some synergies between both of those installations and experiences. Also, through the Rotten City Cultural District program, the city received a donation, accepted that for the council, a donation of an acrylic work from the artist Sama Arusta, who does serve on the PAC, but had a residency through the Rotten City Cultural District, and therefore at the end of that residency offered her work for installation. And that is installed on the stairwell between the 1st and 2nd floors here in City Hall. In 2025, you had a priority to move forward with neighborhood convergence. This project has been deferred to 2026, in part because there were some conversations that were needed to improve the project. And so now the project, instead of being the intent of moving all of the 11 painted structures, 3 to 4 of the larger works have been deemed appropriate for staying in situ while the work around them is occurring. And this is likely to result in much better preservation of the works
These are works that were much more complex, had multiple pieces, several layers, and by being able to keep them in place, maybe we would reduce some costs. And the artist has started to talk about maybe adding some elements to the fence that will remain, that the works will now be, by this project, moved in front of. And then the actual timing of the project will depend on MTC, who are considering their final design, and whether the fourth work will remain in situ or will it will also have to be removed. The Art in Public Places has had an initial foray into social media. At the time we started that, that was with an intern who is no longer with the city of Emeryville. And the city, by the numbers, has a greater reach. Maybe it's different populations, but certainly the city has its own social media presence. And so if nothing else, cross-posting with the city. And as you may have noticed coming in, that there are now new boards that are up here in City Hall. Those notifications that are going on to the city's website or to public art social media pages are also now able to be on the information boards that are here in City Hall. So Steve Santner's postcard is now being published out in City Hall. And so that's another synergy that we now are realizing in 2026. And then of course, there's private development that occurred in 2025. Fernando Martinez, who was also a Rotten City Cultural District resident, had a residency, was commissioned for this private development on 47th and San Pablo. And Planet Fitness installed a work. And if you haven't seen it, the opening is planned for, I think it's a holiday, so January 19th, is that correct? Or is it February?
February.
But if you follow the artist, Timothy B., this is our first augmented reality mural. And it is a trip. I've had both somebody who just was really interested and she showed me a video. It looks like that was taken down. I'm not sure if they're trying to keep it as under wraps a little bit for the opening, but and I'm not even sure how you get the videos to start, if there's QR codes on the building or if you need an app. But all of the people that are included in this mural can get up and start their workout, and you can watch them do that. And it's a pretty powerful moment. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it on Instagram a couple days ago.
Yeah. Like, whoa, they jump right out of the wall.
Especially as there's like barbells and these things that are kind of coming at you, you know, you can't, it's like an experience in a theater where it's, and it's, you know, it's a fun, it's a new, it was something we had talked about in the scope of the For the Rotten City Cultural District. Could we have something like that in Emeryville where technology and art were married and a story was told, and now it's happening with these Black and brown athletes on this building in a very powerful way. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if it's featured in the opening, and if it has then more of a precedence and more of a clarification of how one opens it. Because I think those of us have seen it on Instagram, mm-hmm. that somebody else posted using whatever technology they were able to generate it. But and I know somebody went to the site and showed me and then posted it on YouTube, but it was taken down from YouTube. So I don't know if she had the rights for it. So we'll learn more. And hopefully by the time this is presenting to the council, maybe a video could be in here that shows what that is and can be a little more descriptive of that our art in public places requirements of private development can be one of the places where we can have innovation. And so that's kind of the transition of just for those slides. I'm just looking for, did we say it the right way? Do I have any typos? Is there any better way to represent it? And now these slides are really for you to think about and give feedback to me as staff about the top goals for 2026. And are these doable? Do things need to be get removed so that we can be strategically focused? Are there things that people expected to see happen? For example, a collaboration with the Ohlone is not on this list. If, you know, and that's based on Rick coming back and saying, I haven't seen the capacity to do that. Maybe something to be involved in the visual art grants, but, you know, it's not on this list. So that's an opportunity. I'm pointing that out to say, you might look at this list and say, oh, there were things I thought we would move forward in 2026 that aren't on there. This is my best effort to reflect what you have brought as items that are underway. Certainly the visual art grants are going from a staff perspective, take a lot of the work that happens in 2026. There's $122,000 to be spent on 8 different contracts implemented in a 2-year period. That's going to be a lot of what's seen out in the community, and there will be openings and activities around that. And so that will be the face of the public art program for much of 2026 and 2027. Okay. The 40, yeah.
Can I jump in there? You have one RCCD item on there. I've been talking to Trent at RCCD, mm-hmm. and he's very positive there will be another film festival this year.
Yeah,
and that's a really wonderful goal to
Yeah, and I think they have a date that's going to be in March, yes. but I don't know.
They're still negotiating with
the theater and all that. The
funding is.
Yeah, and
is that separate from the Fishnets and Film?
It is.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
The Fishnet and Films is moving forward on February 28th, and I think both parties thought they're better separated as activities. And that the Emeryville Film Festival through the Rotten City Cultural District would be in March. The reason RCCD residences are up here and the gallery 4509, and it's probably not residencies, it's probably shows. That's probably not the right way to characterize that since there's not makerspace in Gallery 4509, are because you've talked about using art and public places funds for those activities. In one case, you've already taken that action for the residencies. That's going before the council on January 20th. So if you want to attend that city council meeting, it's on a consent, which means, and it also is combined with allocating the last of the state funds for the Rotten City Cultural District for a total of $129,000 to be contracted to ABG Art Group to continue the RCCD. But only $30,000 of that is art in public places, and that was specifically to fund the RCCD residencies. You will have a future agenda item, which you have not yet discussed, and part because we're not certain as staff what we're bringing forward to you for the Gallery 4509, because it might be that you're funding the Celebration of the Arts and they're then asking, and then they're contracting with ABG. It might be that the Celebration of the Arts is doing a sub-agreement with ABG, and then Art in Public Places is going directly to ABG. It may be that Celebration of the Arts says, hey, this is our space. If you want to give us money, that's great. We want it to be us, and we don't want to have ABG a part of it. And you would need to think about that, but we haven't had the conversations with Celebration of the Arts. We have had some with ABG, and they're open to it all, but we need the Celebration of the Arts as the leaseholder for that building to be a part of those conversations, which is why it's not on your agenda tonight. It's listed as a future item. We hope to bring it to February so those shows could get started right away, but it's possible that just because of the nature of availability that could be pushed to March, and that would be the availability of the Celebration of Arts to give us an answer about how they'd like to proceed.
Just so I'm clear, the consent item on January 20th is for RCCD residencies.
For the Art in Public Places to be appropriated funds along with a contract that's $30,000 that is being added to $95,000 of state funds that are residual for a scope of work that includes residency funded by the Art in Public Places, as well as their other elements related to that $95,000. Mm-hmm. So it's a contract amendment with an appropriation of Art in Public Places funds. is what's on consent on January 20th. And that's publishing, I think, this Friday. So in addition to visual art grants, getting 40th Street, right? So 40th Street is going to be before the Transportation Sustainability Committee on January 13th, next Tuesday. And then from there, it'll go to the council for final design approval. And then it will be timed with the, and last night was the end of the comment period on the environmental review on the 40th project. So if it's going to have a hiccup, it's fully funded. Depending on that environmental review, it's ready to move forward, or it will have, for political, economic reasons, opposition, environmental concerns, it could stall, in which case the art program would likely stall. Some element, you know, I think we could think about, there are existing light poles or existing bus shelters. Do we do something in the interim, or is it just stop, wait with design, and then proceed with the project after it's installed?
Is the EIR stuff, there's an existing EIR, isn't it? This would be
the comments
on the mitigated declaration.
The comments were closed last night.
Yeah, but that's what it would be. Yeah. It's not doing a new EIR.
There's not doing an EIR unless some district. I mean, I think we're at the moment where we're going to learn that by the time this presentation is made, I think you'll have an answer to, is this project moving forward this year as anticipated?
Well, it was just the timing, because of, you know. Yeah. This part is easy, but if it was a full EIR, it'd be next year.
Yeah. No, it's comments are received. Neighborhood convergence. I hope before you're presenting before the council that I'll have a conversation with the public works staff and potentially the MTC staff to see if we anticipate neighborhood convergence in this year, right? That would be a significant set of staff time associated with that and be equivalent of a capital project that's moving forward. And since the visual art grants and 40th could be moving forward, if neighborhood convergence is moving forward, we're kind of, you got as much capacity as I got, and it's just on fumes for anything else. But the residencies are happening, but that's mostly ABG is going to do that, right? So like that just, you gave the money, you sent the check, much like sending a check to the Celebration of the Arts, right? So that's we're good. Gallery 4509 is similar, right? It might be just a check to one of two organizations for them to do programming, increase the capacity of the arts programming without using staff time, which we just expressed might be on fumes. This new maintenance contract is kind of the question of like, how much can that contractor be given some priorities? We have a pretty straightforward contract, and because there's never staff time left to do maintenance, is this a way to kind of build our capacity? And that's kind of, I'd say, the big question or the unanswered question that I like explored tonight. As I said, visual art grants are already out. You've already, this is actually $500 more than that. And the, as I said, at both workshops yesterday and Tuesday, applicants are being asked to check boxes of if they want to, oh, there's an error I need to talk to you about, Carrie. If they want to install their artwork in October of 2026 or October of 2027, so that we leverage the visual investment in the visual art grants to be part of the ongoing art and culture months, right? So there's something that's exciting and happening through the investment of art in public places money in October, much like we did with Packard Jennings and his birdhouses and included them in tours, that we'd have some visual art grants that are happening then. And so we're asking applicants as they apply, if they're, do they think they need more time and it's going to be 2027, or could they be there in 2026? Or maybe there's more complex and they just, you know, or they want spring and they're not going to be part of Art and Culture Month. We've also talked with San Francisco Estuary Partnership about them funding a specific residency and perhaps doing that in Art and Culture Month around sea level rise and visioning the waterfront, and using artist residencies to do a community process around re-envisioning the waterfront with RCCD. Goal two being the 40th streetscape icon. And I see a typo here. And this probably should be, implementation of the project. If 40th is ready to go forward, it will be the full implementation. But the issue right now, I would say, through your meeting, the BPAC meeting, as it's going to the Transportation Sustainability Committee, which will already happen before the city council, there is a question of if the implementation will happen next year or the following year, but we do want to finalize the icon and understand if the toppers on certain signs are going to be this icon that everyone has agreed on and it's got a life and it's moving forward, or we're using the city's logo and we're not using that icon. And so there is some thought that staff has met with the artist after your meeting back in November and the BPAC's meeting following that, and giving them feedback. And we're anticipating new designs for that icon in advance of the Transportation Sustainability Committee. So that will happen in advance of, and an item will be prepared to go to the council. So this slide will be revised to reflect that. It'll also be revised to reflect what we know about the schedule for 40th. Goal three, of course, we're talking about the residency right now. Kalani Ware has been installed at it and it's closing on January 22nd. There's a reception that is the 10th is Saturday. Really lovely fella. Go in, see what's happening. I think he's bringing in other artists who are selling their wares for that community event.
It's also, he's got these blocks that visitors can add to do their own art on it. And he said that there was a couple who made it a date night and added art to it.
Lots of, quite lovely. And then, of course, that your action is to offer $30,000 for safe residency in 2026. And then, of course, neighborhood convergence. The restoration of four painted sculptures of Protection Institute, and then the additional. I think the question is, will it be in two phases, right? Will some works come out and be stored, and then it won't be until 2027 that everything's being returned? So we'll get a little more about that schedule to finalize this. And then for Gallery 4509, the shows that my understanding is that an item will come before you once we have a clarity about Emeryville Celebration Arts versus ABG and what the roles would be in relationships to consider funding another $30,000 for six art shows at Gallery 4509, with one show to occur as part of the Rotten City Cultural District Art and Culture Month, right? So October, this space would be occupied again and be part of Art and Culture Month, having both something at Bay Street here, visual art grounds being installed, tours, that kind of being understood as that's what Art and Culture Month is, with then the film festival also continuing annually so that the cultural district, even if it's limping along money-wise, has those two events happening every year, and maybe other partners are being found to make sure that both those events happen, as we're doing with the visual art grants, leveraging city money to support that as a cultural district activity. 10 new cultural districts were announced just this week. So they're now 24 statewide. One was designated in Oakland. Most of them are, I think there might be have been additional ones in San Francisco as well, but many of them in Southern California, but it's expanded. The ones in Watsonville and has expanded the program's reach. But those districts are only getting that $10,000 stipend that we originally started with. So there is some question of mentoring and what capacity there is for mentoring those groups. But you started, when you started to have the conversation, you talked about the bus shelters potentially being, the past bus shelters being a curated show that was at Gallery 45 and I, the residencies or the co-op or Earth Day or Social Justice Sea Level Rise, that SFDP partnership that we were talking about, children's art with EUSD, painters who turned into muralists, Emeryville photography. We've talked about that being a missing media that is in represented in Emeryville. Perhaps that can be featured in the shows here. Pixar, who opened the Gallery 4509, and the thought being that in October it would be Pixar again, but then these other shows would, you know, start to fill out the year. 3D printed works or ceramic works were all just some ideas. And you know, maybe this slide doesn't need to continue to have these ideas. These were ideas that I took as notes from when you talked about your interest in potentially funding this. I think it was Vicky that had most of, you know, she had a long list, and that might be reflected here. But making sure that that's either consistent, or if you want to take that out, not have that specificity, but kind of giving some flesh on the bones of what would be represented in the shows, why there's the investment of the Art in Public Places funds. And so the preservation of arts is assessed the city-owned public art collection. So it hasn't assessed any of the art that's not owned by the city. That's on private development for them to maintain their work. And we have can use our code enforcement if needed to say, hey, this work isn't being maintained or it's missing. You need to address that. But preservation arts, we're thinking about prioritizing deferred maintenance for repairs, thinking of an initial 3-year contract of $50,000 per year to incrementally address the maintenance of the collection. They have skilled conservators that do museum quality work, also work with public art programs throughout the Bay Area, another community that, you know, a larger scale, but a similar scale collection, right? We're kind of out of our weight class in terms of how much art we have, but had recommended them. They had responded to the City Economic Development Division does an RFP for a variety of services. And so maintenance and curation of the collection was included in that open call for professional services. And they responded through that process. And so we had them on the short list available to do the initial contracting, which has already been completed, where they've evaluated all of the works in this building, senior center, on the fire station, every park, everything that we have within the collection, except for Sign of the Times, which we separately maintain, and the bus shelter, which we have we have a set of vendors for maintaining that program.
It's only art on public property.
Yes, that is owned by the city. And so in some cases, we do have city-owned murals on private property. But most that program's fairly new, so most of those works there isn't a need for repair or restoration of those.
We're probably talking about this already in terms of private property. Do they have any maintenance obligations at all?
They do. They are required to maintain their work in perpetuity. What I said a couple sentences ago was that code enforcement is the only way we have to catch them on that or say that. So that's really a complaint-driven system. So if you were out at Michael's Art and you're like, hey, Vicky Joe's sculpture looks poorly taken care of, this is a health hazard, or I just don't like the way it looks, you could use CClickFix and say, this public art isn't being maintained. Or you could say, Amber, as Secretary of the PAC, this art in public places, private developments art doesn't look well maintained, and it would be referred to our code enforcement officer. And, you know, she might be able to get right to it, or it might be after a few other things that are health and safety first.
Yes.
The estimate of deferred maintenance in total was estimated by Pacific Arts, Preservation Arts, at over $300,000. And that included about $200,000 for the six top projects as listed here. The number one being Pumpers and Sparky at $37,000. And the thought was that this this might be more expensive for them to do than the artist has given an estimate for her to do herself. But there is, since she serves on the PAC, there is a conflict of resolution. We just need to navigate that, right? Neighborhood conversion with that same artist. They estimate that it would just be 60, and this is new information, right? We've seen much higher numbers, that it would just be 66,000 to restore the works in place, right? If you didn't move them and you looked at paint and restoration and cleaning, that'd be $66,000. But that would leave the works behind the fences. And there's been a real desire, at least as I've heard expressed in the actions by this board, this committee, to move them out from the fences. And so that is not considered in these numbers. And because that is sort of separately out moving forward, there is a question of look closely, which is, and the numbers here are how many works are included. So Pumpers and Sparky is two works, Neighborhood Convergence, eight works, look closely, seven different sculptures. And they indicated that there was about $15,000 in damage to the concrete, some pitting. They're out in the greenway and just have had some wear. And then Peninsula Telltale, you've had a member of the public come and tell you that they're concerned about it. And they estimated that was about $36,000. And that I think they didn't assume a crane, so it would be more if they needed to have a crane to get to the top of the very tall sculpture. Gateway, which is the tile work with integrated light under Powell, has been hit by some trucks. And some of those glass tiles have been knocked off. There's also graffiti on them. And they certainly, one of the things in looking at the review of the collection, have indicated that they might be able to help us if they become a partner with us, you know, on retainer, continuing with the program, to be able to spec some of our jobs to include having additional materials. So instead of now going and trying to find how we buy those tiles per the specs of the artist, having bought 500 additional tiles, just be able to glue on when the inevitable maintenance comes. And so that also probably would require us to check in with Public Works and find out if they're done with the maintenance work that has resulted in trucks hitting that, or if that is a continuing issue, and maybe we want to wait until, you know, the corporate cleanup is, you know, if it was related to that, something that's a major milestone before we embark on that repair. And then reflections of time, which is at Doyle Hollis Park, a fountain that isn't working. And I don't think this dollar amount includes repairing the fountain. I think this is just cosmetics to the concrete work that is there in Doyle Hollis Park. And these six projects include approximately 25 separate pieces. Obviously, at $200,000, if the intent is to spend about $50,000 per year for the next 3 years, we wouldn't complete this list. Like, we'd complete this list in 4 years. And so I can't imagine accelerating that with the available staff time. So I think what I'm looking for you to give guidance on is if any of these that are listed here, and I'm sorry, I can pull up pictures, or we could use the GIS if people aren't familiar with where these locations are, or we can pull up the Excel sheet where they talk about the work that's needed, or we can just talk about it kind of at this level, right? Neighborhood convergence is its own thing kind of being pulled out. So that leaves the rest, which is actually a 3-year scope of work, right? Because neighborhood convergence comes out and it becomes 130,000. And whether or not Pumpers and Sparky and Look Closely, or Look Closely in Peninsula Telltale, or Gateway, or Reflection of Times, like what's moving forward into this year's program? And are there anything at things that people as members of the committee have felt like are a real embarrassment, or a health and safety concern, or are, you know, a real priority? And I think all of these were top priorities from Preservation Arts. They didn't distinguish between them. They said, you know, this of your top of all the things in your collection, here are the six that are top priority, or were ranked as one to move forward with. And so I'm looking for a motion that prioritizes 2 to 3 of these for 2026.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Of the things that they named, how would you rank them in terms of visibility? In terms of, you know, like which ones are really getting seen the most often? And then yeah. I'd kind of like, me personally, I'd kind of like work that way.
Sure. You know, our visual art grants kind of get prioritized similarly, right? There's some grants, but there's two different ways to look at it. Pumpers and Sparky are right on Hollis. Probably got the most vehicles going past them of any work on this list. Mm-hmm. Neighborhood Convergence and Gateway are on Shell Mound and Powell, have significant traffic volumes adjacent mm-hmm. to them. But Look Closely is on the Greenway, kind of that more pedestrian, where maybe visual art grants are being installed. Maybe there's a different sort of fine grain investment in it. So is it the vehicle experience or the pedestrian experience that is being prioritized? Peninsula Telltale probably has less physical volume of people, but is definitely a place of respite and has a specific quality and experience. I think your flashlight is and so you know, I think there's each of these locations have reasons why they're a value. You know, Reflections Time is in Doyle Hollis Park, major big community events occurring in it, but you know, yeah.
There's another real serious factor on this. The whole issue of repairs has to do with how critical repairs are. You know, the classic model of streets is it's better to repair them early because they get worse and worse. Mm-hmm. Which ones are the biggest danger of deteriorating? Right. Well, that should be the priority, because if we do something else, they'll be worse when we have to fix them.
My understanding is that Pumpers and Sparky have some structural failure apparent, and so that it may
that's
be
serious.
What were you going to say?
So, like around the neighborhood convergence on Powell, are they going to be finishing the new redevelopment of the path this year on Powell?
I don't know that, and that's why I'm saying I think that can and will be, and it will not be this. Preservation Arts will not be contracted with for the completion of restoration of neighborhood convergence in all likelihood.
Will it be someone else doing it?
Yeah. We've talked about the artists themselves doing it, and maybe Atau doing some of the like extraction of the artwork and storage of the work. But Preservation Arts works with Atau and they can, but I don't think there's much added value to bringing Preservation Arts into neighborhood convergence unless we want to use them sort of for project management, which we may be able to do, but the cost of that will be different from what's here, because this is just assuming it stays behind the fence, they clean them, they paint them.
So this is if it stays in place, they will take this bid, but if it doesn't, it'll be
completely something else completely.
Yeah. It's like just in order of like priority as we're talking about it, holding back that like discussion of whether it goes to Preservation Arts or not. that one's going to have a lot of visibility when that path gets redeveloped. So, but then it's like, okay, now we can finally put some effort to make this thing looking good again.
Yeah. And neighborhood convergence timing has really just been tied to that path and understanding that. And I'm committed to getting you more information about that timing before this goes to the council. But I would remove neighborhood convergence from the preservation of arts priority contract items. So I think what's really on the table is Pumpers and Sparky, Look Closely, Peninsula Telltale, Gateway, and Reflections of Time. And each, you know, because each of them is somewhere in 35 and somewhere 15, you can kind of pick 135 and 115, right? Like that's how you compare them and get us priorities for two projects to move forward in 2026, in addition to neighborhood convergence and Portia.
Are they confident that with like the Peninsula Telltale, that the repairs are going to actually make it so it'll stay repaired for a long time? I mean, the seawater and everything is what's really kind of damaging that thing.
They have indicated that they think we have made some materials choices that were erroneous for the conditions. Mm-hmm. And that they have some suggestions and some materials that they think are more appropriate. And I think if you wanted to prioritize Peninsula Telltale, it would be with the understanding that they would be using different materials. Because that work was completely relocated and moved in upwards of over $100,000 and reinstalled in 2012. And so it was one of those things that was like the neighborhood convergence of its time, right? It was the big, we got to move it. It's no longer visible. It needs to be restored. And that investment moved it to a capital project and it's already suffering. And our other work has not had that problem, and it's clear that it's a marine environment.
I know that I would love to see that one fixed because it's such a, one, it has a lot of visibility. People see it, they go jogging around that area. But when you look up at it and seeing it not work, it's such like, it's so in your face that it's like a failure to upkeep.
Yeah.
Whereas like some of the other ones, it's like, you know, they're in more intimate spaces and some of them actually look okay with their weather intent, you know, their kind of weathering. But that one, it's like, it reminds me of the windmill where it's like, oh, we failed to maintain this.
So I've heard Rick say that it might be prioritizing Pumpers and Sparky, and I've heard you say Peninsula Telltale, and I've heard me say, why don't you pick one thing that's 15,000 and one thing that's 35, and you got 235.
Pumpers and Sparky and Peninsula Telltale, I think more people will enjoy the repairs to Telltale.
Uh-huh. Hmm. I wouldn't do anything if its Gateway was the one with the tiles until if there's still potential for more damage, don't bother.
So there's discussion that's happened. I'm looking for a motion. I'm hearing Peninsula Telltale from at least one person being a top priority. Is there a smaller project that we might make that 50,000 and that, you know, they can understand their scope? So it would really be Reflections Time,
which or the it's the Reflections of Time. I don't think
it's in Doyle Halls Park. It's actually a site where a visual art grant is being potentially considered.
Also, they want to fix that.
Was it the amphitheater or is it the
it's the sculpture in front of the amphitheater? The visual art grant is for the amphitheater.
Is it to fix the water feature of it?
I don't think the water feature could be fixed for 18,000. So I think this is about the concrete
work. Now, the only thing about the thing in Doyle Hollis Park is that in that area where the skateboarders are always riding? Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to fix it and then they're going to damage it. Yeah. So that would be my only.
Maybe the fix is to make it ready for skateboarders.
Because, I mean, they're there and they're ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They spent hours there. So unless there's a way to protect it from that,
Better spend on look closely.
What's look closely again?
Look closely are the seat elements. Some of the birdhouses have been concrete eggs.
Yeah.
We've been photo imprints on the top of them that are microscopic elements.
And what's damage with them now?
Gibbeting. It may be skateboarders. It may be, things being knocked against them, but it would be, polishing them and taking care of any hitting and holding in them. And if there are, if another visual art grant were to occur on that segment of the street, it might be well timed as kind of a reopening of the greenway and the slow street elements that come from North Hollis to Doyle Halls Park. So
do they not know that it's art, public art that they're skating on, or do they not care?
I haven't asked. I imagine with my experience of raising a fairly conscious teen that they wouldn't be aware that it's not malicious.
I think a little bullish,
probably. Yeah.
Look closely. Well, I didn't realize that was the name of them. I stood on them every day. That's like my path.
Right.
They're just kind of, it's just overgrown. There's a lot of. So when you look down, you don't realize that it's art class that you're seeing. So polishing it up maybe would be fine, but
Are there little knots that you can install on?
Any skateboard damage on those. Yeah. At least most. They're all in the park. They're not along the sidewalks too much. One or two are kind of like...
Yeah. I haven't seen skaters, and it's on my regular commute. So I don't think skate stoppers are needed, and it might become even more confusing about if they're public art, should that be. But I don't mean to discount anyone's statement, but I have heard that if we're thinking about trying to do 50,000 or thereabout each year, that Peninsula Telltale and Look Closely could be those priorities for 2026. Is that something somebody wants to make as a motion, or are there replacements to that, or are there other priorities? And is there other information you need to make recommendation?
We want to spend that this year. We couldn't roll it over.
You could say, hey, we just want to focus on Peninsula Telltale, and we're also doing neighborhood convergence. That's enough. And, have $150,000 with as a contract done with Preservation Arts, and just have the rest of the contract done in 2027. Certainly, as staff, I have no problem with that as a decision.
Okay, just to kind of like brush up some seating stones. I don't think it will be that much of an impact.
So you want to respond to the member of the public who came and said, you got to look at Peninsula Telltale, have that be what they do in their first year, and save the remainder of the contract for future years. Is that a proposal that's moving into an action?
Okay with that.
What? Peninsula Telltale is which one again?
The giant blue pole with a weather vane hand on the top.
Walk out to the park.
Oh, what? It's down on the going towards the bay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So where is it?
Right now, it's just frozen in place.
It must be right next to the bay trail.
Oh, okay. All right. So what do we want to do to it?
They're going to fix it up, make it weather resistant, get it moving again, and install new lights on it.
Okay, the lights.
And you know what? With that scope that you just said right there, it might be a little bit more. We might get to the 50,000.
Lights are involved.
Yeah.
But I'll leave it to you. That's just my that's probably not as bad.
I have it on my page, so let me just go back to the sharing. How do I go back to this one?
Yeah. If you go to the RCCD website, it's the first shot, zooming in on it.
Okay. Well, hold on, I got it.
Broken.
And
So.
Why is it? That's pointing to the cell phone.
Well, that's just
well, that's just doing.
Yeah,
that's early days, huh?
But that's back when the lights were working.
And you're saying that none of the lights are on?
I think half the lights are busted.
Okay.
It doesn't move.
And how much are they saying it's going to cost me for this?
They said $36,000, but that did not involve a crane, which meant they weren't going up to the top to change the lights, so forth. So I think that this is likely to be a larger cost more once we get into and add those elements to the scope. So I think that might be a reasonable place to sit, have them focus their initial work with the, you know, and then to not go forward if they can't have definite an improvement in materials because. So is there comfort with that as the motion? Has there been a motion?
Should I make the motion? I'll make the motion to focus on doing the telltale sign repairs and holding off the remainder to roll into next year. Or if there's additional budget that's needed to fix this and it costs more.
And is there a second? Dave, so Mike made the motion, Dave seconded. Is there any discussion or would you like to call the roll call? Or is there any public comment on the item? Hearing no call for clarifying questions, action, or public comment, I'm going to call the roll and back to my agenda. Mike.
Yes.
Thank you. Dave. Sure. My first and my second have now said yes. Rick.
Yes.
Judy.
Yes.
Duran.
Yes.
And Ron.
Yes.
What happened to the discussion? There was a lot of discussion in there.
Okay, so let me get back to that presentation. I gotta go back. Okay. Okay. So you've made a priority there. In our slideshow, the only other thing we're gonna say is we're gonna keep doing the bus shelter. We're gonna get a bookmark out there. We're gonna keep doing the purchase award. And then there's consideration you're making of a lending program for the purchase award, because particularly as these visual grants roll out, if they start doing things in this room, in the ECCL multipurpose room, that's going to take a few of the locations that you have for the 2026 purchase award. So that's going to start to feel a little more constrained. And you were thinking about using that lending program to alleviate the constraints of the purchase award.
Commercial spots? Are we talking
possibly having them, you know, not that they're rotating, but that the School of Optometry opens on San Pablo Avenue and they have a purchase award that sits in there for 3 to 5 years and, you know, is part of the public being in that space and seeing that and on our map and, you know, we're sending people to go see it and that sort of thing. And then just a reminder that for the public, seeing art and the cultures within the city, the cultural district has also added 50 banners throughout the city, had a booth that they had from a local artist who also was commissioned from
a mural that's at Sherwin Williams Garden, and installed a marquee sculpture at Hollis Park. And the picture that's in there is before it was installed, so I'll get that revised to it being in its location at Hollis Park, maybe even with the event and the people. And so that, you know, there's both the art that Art in Public Places is doing, but also what the Cultural District is doing. So that's the so the second action I'd like from you, or you can do as process, if you want to make a motion about changes or how this presentation, like what the priorities are, or to something was missing, you can make an action to direct staff. Or if you're like, I'm fine with it, with the changes that were mentioned, you don't need to take an action. But if you're like, no, we got to move Ohlone into the priorities, or we got to switch this around, then you would take an action to direct those priorities.
I would just add, if there's some way with the RCCD to add some picture that had, was an event that had picture that had people, you know, because those events were all such a big part of the month. It was so great.
The all the people spilling out into the lobby of the Pixar in front of Gallery 4509.
Right, or something. Yeah.
Okay. Or the film festival, right? Something in this slide.
Yeah.
Sure. Not a problem.
Make the box smaller.
We could do events versus installations. So is there a need for an action? Or is there consensus around this feels like it's representative of the goals and priorities that you have for 2026?
It's fine.
I'm good.
Oh, where? Oh, where? There it is.
Get back to my agenda.
There we go.
Go back through that slide, the slides really quickly. You get to see, there's no clock in this room. What time is it? I have
no idea.
There's no
set.
Okay. 4 minutes to 7. What of the public art monthly report do you guys want to hear about? The call for the visual art grants, that applications will close on February 27th. The website has the frequently asked questions, the list of priority sites, the PowerPoint, all the elements. Hopefully you, the PAC, know where that information is and can share it and offer it out to other people. CJ Chen, that is a public meeting on January 13th at 4 o'clock. The PAC and BPAC are invited to attend that as the final design is moved forward to recommendation for the City Council. Some of your comments like, hey, it doesn't feel like it's safe for people to be kicking a turkey and having it at their ankles have been directed to the artists, and they plan to make change. Some of the images of that white that was in the presentation that I gave to you, they might use those in between bars instead, like a scene, or they might bring the animals into a scene that's put in the bars, but that was addressed. The mural program, again, is still on hiatus because the visual art grants have been so effective of addressing additional murals. Many muralists were in the workshops for this round of visual art grants. So we get faster, high-quality murals at a lower cost installed in Emeryville. So the trade-off is, you know, maybe artists are better compensated for their work, and there's always the trade-off in the program between meeting the goal of supporting artists versus installing artwork. But the visual art grants are certainly effective in getting artworks installed and quickly in a much faster way than we were doing calls for the mural. It's almost like we're doing 20 mini calls within the visual art grant as I outline those sites to everyone at the workshops. The bus shelter program, Robert Ortball was just installed, I think, either today or yesterday. And so those works, if you may recall, he had a residency and did a parade through Bay Street. So some of that masking and characters that were on people are now on dolls and in the bus shelters, a distinct installation. Stella Caldwell, who was doing the collages with historic imagery, will be our next artist in 4 months. And you had given her some feedback. So Carrie and I need to see if she's doing new works or just a modification or using a different one than you had talked about, you know, like giving her feedback on. The purchase award, as I've mentioned, I don't know how many times, is going to be next Tuesday on January 20th at 5:30 at ECCL. That's that main gate, and then to the right where Mike Ferrugi is for this area. Why is this popping up? My goodness. And then we are using the Facebook page and Instagram page to announce things like the visual art grant. We will be using this board here in City Hall for similarly. Steve Santner's event is up on that screen, but the community promotion grants are being promoted there now. I plan to get the visual art grants put up there. I think they weren't put up because we'd already closed the workshops, but now I just want to create a new flyer that says, you know, due February 27th, go here for application and give that so that it's there in City Halls. Regarding the Art Center, you had an update at your November meeting, and I haven't heard anything since then regarding the Art Center. So I think certainly if I hear something to give you an update, I'll update here, or you can ask for another update, you know, if we haven't gotten something back to you soon enough. The Cultural District. We talked about how Kalani is in the residency now, and that event is this Saturday, and then the closing event's on the 21st. I will show you some pictures related to this, some attachments, and then we're talking, you know, the council will be reviewing the scope, contract amendment on the 20th. For AUEG Art Group. And then in February, you'll look at a second amendment related to Gallery 4559. We talked about, and we did, as says here, we'll talk about in the goal setting and prioritization exercise in advance of the March City Council meeting to think about that. And the 15,000 that's represented there was just the work that was the contract that was given to them to assess the work. And so that will now be a $150,000 contract and something to be brought forward to the City Council. Neighborhood convergence, I don't have a new update, but I will by next meeting. That includes when is that MTC project moving forward that will necessitate a project. Pompeo's and Sparky is on here as a priority. But you did not move it forward. So this will be changed to reflect that is waiting until 2027 to be reconsidered as we move forward with Peninsula Telltale. Sign of the Times currently has two boxes where the art, at Powell Hollis, there was street construction and they didn't replace Sign of the Times. Yes. So we got one more to put back on. And there are two other ones on Horton where they haven't painted the boxes. So this is a need to coordinate with Public Works. Planet Fitness, we talked about how the AR is happening in that mural, and that the opening is expected February 20th, I think, which is a holiday, but you're here in Emeryville and the opening could be fun because you might be able to see that AR. There is not a lot of other private development that is generating private public art. Though Sutter could be the big thing that brings a whole nother discussion. One of the things that might happen with Sutter is talking about should some of that money be allocated to the art center versus having public art installed with something like $9 million, which is 1% of a $900 million project, right? So do we want, because once we, because probably what we don't want is for them to use their art in public places money to install a lot of art throughout the building that become hundreds of pieces in the program that most people won't see and that they would do anyway because that's what hospitals do. And now when they change it, we have to do something administrative. And so, you know, there will most certainly be an art consultant for that project and somebody that I will work with about how they're curating it, but we may want to negotiate for something that gives us a bigger something like the Art Center or support for the arts or a program in the arts rather than lots of little pieces of art.
I like the Art Center idea. That sounds really good.
I am putting it out there because maybe it needs some feed under it, right? Yeah. So a thought to think about. And then Rivian is not required to do public art, but they always put murals on their buildings. So it is expected that with the approval of that project moving forward in the North Hollis area, that building would have a new mural as well.
One other thing in terms of Sutter is suggesting some money go to programs for the school.
I'm sure that is, you know, and the merry-go-round and street paving and traffic is going
to
be.
Wasn't this supposed to be breaking ground?
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, so it's a while.
Yes.
They have to build out.
The first step will be them using the existing building. So they'll have, much like the Stanford building on Hollis, they would have, outpatient care that was offered in that giant glass empty building that is right there in Hollis. They would use that first.
Oh, Hollis. Okay.
And then they would begin construction of the hospital facility and the vacant lot that's behind it.
Yeah. What about Rivian? When are they taking over that warehouse?
I don't know the specifics of it, but I know their plans are sitting on the planning department.
As that went through.
Oh, yeah. So the car manufacturer?
Repair shop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all that infrastructure for, you know, cars that are now electric need separate, you know, repair shops that weren't out in the community. So there's common. And that's it. So that's the update on the Rotten City Cultural District, the Art Center, and what's happening with public places art.
Oh, quick question. So the new spot that took over Rotten City Pizza, did they have to do art?
They aren't required to do art because they just took over a lease. They didn't trigger any planning.
Who took it over? That's the pizza spot.
Oh yeah, they just opened on Monday, I think.
They just had
soft opening.
So
twice, yes,
the quickest thing is the guy that owned the hot dog stand across the street is the father of the people that one of the partners
they
seem like good guys.
Yeah, what's the name of the guy that does the digital paper?
Rob Arias.
He wrote something about it.
I went over there. He said they had a soft opening, and I was like, I just gotta run over there because it was good.
Okay, yeah. Cheaper than Broughton City.
Actually, it was. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Rotten City Pizza was like ridiculous.
The
gold standard.
The mural that is on the exterior of that building does reference Rotten City Pizza. And the artist is Molly Keane and wasn't part of any art in public places. They could paint it over. They could modify it. So I don't know what the... It's one of the oldest murals in Emeryville, and so I don't know what will happen with it. And if you're popping in, maybe you could ask them what they
want. I think if they were going to do something, they would have done it. So I feel like they're probably going to leave it. But, you know.
I mean, I was talking to them. They were like, they want to turn it into an art gallery inside. He's like very interested in doing art.
The lending library.
Yes.
So that is the end of that item. So
we can write those next.
Our chair can tell us, but I believe it's public. It's comment by the members. I just need to find right.
The agenda item number 8.
Yeah.
Yep. Any announcements or?
Well, I just want to share that I'm working on another project with Lenny and Lonnie folks. I'll see them later in the month, so I'm going to something happening.
You going to say anything more than that?
What?
Like, what's the project?
Oh, we don't. This was a discussion about creating a major reference piece to Ohlone culture through the art.
No, but he's saying, what's the project you are working on?
It's a film for the Fruitvale Historical Community Center, which was the center of the hacienda that all the Ohlone worked for. Okay. We're doing a big display and then some interpretive films for that.
Yeah, you know, we should talk. You need some stills.
Okay, well, you have stills of Ohlone?
No, like of the people that you're talking to.
I don't have them, but I mean, but they're not part of the show. They're just okay. Consultants on the project. So, anyway. Simpson project, no, have a chance to talk to them, see if they're interested.
And through the visual art grant program, it was the opportunity to perhaps consider collaboration for the visual art grants with the Ohlone, and then in consideration of the peaceful and maybe integrating Virginia language and doing that in another media or inclusive in the visual art. I could use this as another opportunity to say January 13th is an
I'll pull my kid out of rec early to be there with her too.
Wonderful. Yeah, bring the kids on over. It's fun to be on that site. It's fun when the kids get to ask questions of the youngest and learn. And there are a couple visual art grants, but there was a visual art grant artist who was considering sites and was actually considering that. Steve Snetner has indicated that his art feels a little lonely.
He knew what it was going to be, right?
The purchase was made, the city bought it, and then we proposed that.
When it happened with me, you walked me around a bunch of different and where do you want it to be? He didn't get that.
We don't have a lot of sites left.
We'll take it. We'll tell you where to put it.
Yeah.
We just don't have, given it was two works.
Right.
Kind of space. Right there, there's a rather prominent clock. And that is, I think that's the conclusion, unless anyone else has other items.
So the time is 7:12 p.m. and we can adjourn our January 8th, 2026 Public Art Committee meeting.
Start the trend, getting us out early.
Thank you.
Thank you.